Long time ago was a poet. He lived in a big, beautiful castle. He was such a rich millionaire, and he had so many things, and beautiful furniture and paintings, a closet full of clothes, beautiful things he bought from around the world, delicious food cooking in the kitchen, many officers and many servants, silver, gold, jewels, and all the good stuff. Wagons and horses, fields, lakes, forests. But this poet had a problem. In his castle, as happy as he was. And that is, things would disappear. He would go shopping in a faraway land and buy beautiful shirts, hang them up in his closet, come back a few days later, "Hey, what happened to my shirts? Some of them are missing. Where are they? Who could take my shirts? One of my servants? One of my officers?" But he could not find out who. Well, he would buy... he would buy something else from a faraway place and put it in his house. A painting, or a small thing on a table, a decoration, would also disappear. Even his food, he would prepare a snack for himself in his room. And then he would have to go out and do something important in a different room and come back. "Hey, where's my donuts? Where's my cookies? Gone. Who took it? Which servant took my things? Which officer?" And of course, his toys from his toy room would disappear. "Hey, who took my toys? Where's my favorite toy that disappeared?" Little things and bigger things. Now, he got very irritated, very upset by this, because he could never find out who was taking his stuff. But of course, he needs his servants and his officers to take care of his big castle. One day he decided, I'm going to hire one special officer, a special servant to be in charge of my room, and only he will have the key, because in his room were the most important things, especially money. Yes, I forgot to tell you, money would disappear. Money from his drawer, money that he put on his desk. "I will hire one special officer in charge of my room, and only he will have the key." Now, the real important stuff was locked up in his safe. A special metal box that was put into the wall that had a special lock. This, of course, was totally locked up, and nothing was stolen out of that, because the Poritz, he had the key. And this was in his room. However, everywhere else in his castle, that's where the things would disappear. But especially things in his room, the most important things that he would put in his room, these things would disappear. "I am going to hire a special man, an honest man that I could trust. And only he will have the key. But who will I hire?" And the poet started to think, "Who can I trust that would not steal?" All of a sudden, the poet had in his mind, "I know who doesn't steal. A Jew. Yes, those Jews that live on my property, in my town, I know that they are honest people. They learn the Torah. They keep the laws. They believe in God. Yes, that God is always looking at them. I will hire a Jew." And the Poritz went to the Jewish neighborhood. He asked around. Now, the people liked the Poritz. He was not a bad guy, like in many of the stories, troublemakers. I'm not saying he was a good guy or a great guy, but he wasn't the troublemaker Poritz that is in many of these stories. And it was suggested to him, there was a Yid named Reb Shmuel, and he could be the helper of the Poritz, as long as, of course, time would be given to Reb Shmuel to learn and daven and do mitzvahs, but he could also come to the castle and take care of the Poritz's room. And there was a meeting between Reb Shmuel and the Poritz, and the Poritz liked Reb Shmuel, and he brought him to the castle, and he showed him around. And he saw Reb Shmuel was very smart and very good. Reb Shmuel is a Talmud Chochem and a fine man. And the Poritz says to Reb Shmuel, here is the key to my room. You're the only one that will have it. No other officer and no other servant. And you will be in charge of my room. And from then on, do you think anything disappeared from the Poritz's room? You think so?
No.
No. Do you think any of the Poritz's toys disappeared from his room? What do you think?
No.
No. Do you think the Poritz's cookies and donuts and candies and popcorn disappeared from his plate in his room when he got a snack there?
No.
Do you think anybody drank up the Poritz's juicy after he woke up from his nappy?
No.
No. Because Reb Shmuel took care of the Poritz's room. Now, the other officers and servants were jealous, but there wasn't too much they could do. Now, Ken Alach, sometimes the Poritz had to go away on a special trip, an important trip, you know, like hunting, or to go to a party in somebody else's castle, stuff like that. And there were important things to do while the Poritz was gone, sometimes money things. And the Poritz liked Reb Shmuel so much, he even trusted him with a key to his safe. Yes, his own safe where he kept his treasures and he kept his big money. Oh, nobody else ever touched that key, but Reb Shmuel was trusted even with that key. Two keys, the key to the Poritz's room and the key to the Poritz's safe. One day, the Poritz gets a letter, and he's invited to go somewhere very, very important, some kind of an important party or hunting trip or something like that. He'll be away for a few days, but he's going to come back in time for his birthday party. The Poritz, his birthday party is coming up every year. He made a big party for all of his friends and other Poritzes and important people and big shots. And they're coming to the Poritz's birthday party. He'll be back in time for that. But he's got to go away now. And he says to Reb Shmuel, you're in charge of the castle, my room and my safe. He instructed him what to do. And the Poritz says, before he leaves Reb Shmuel, make sure everything will be ready for my birthday party. Make sure that the bakers are baking birthday cakes and my special fun cookies with smileys on them and all the noshes in the castle, and they're cooking the good food that I like to serve my guests, order party hats, games, and all the fun things, and of course drinks. What kind of drinks are they going to order for the birthday party? What do you think?
Master.
All right. And now, the Poritz goes on his trip. He comes back from his trip, and it's birthday party day. Oh, the wagons are coming with the guests. As they enter the castle, of course, they're bringing presents for the Poritz. And there's music from the band with their banjos and fluties. And they're serving delicious food and all kinds of nosh and playing games. And some of them have costumes on. A regular nice birthday party for the Poritz. And then it comes show and tell. Yes, everybody knows that the Poritz loves to play show and tell on his birthday party. Well, if somebody else has something to show and tell, maybe he'll give them a chance. But the first chance always goes to the pirates. Now, everybody knew that the pirates always shows and tells the same thing. And even though it was boring, and they knew it already, but of course it's his birthday party, and he has to have his fun. So he's the first one. He sits everybody down. It's quiet in the castle, and the pirate says, "Show and tell time." And he calls Reb Shmuel, who was there. He says, "Go to the safe and bring the special box with the diamonds." Now, the Poretz had inherited from his parents a big, beautiful, special diamond. It was so expensive and so special that the whole year it stayed in the safe, locked up, and only once a year on his birthday party he would take it out to show everybody. And everybody knew every year they would get to see the diamond, which is very nice, but you know, they've seen it quite a few times. And it's not only seeing it, as you're going to see what happens, the poet makes a whole speech, and you know exactly what he's going to say, where the diamond came from, the history, and all this stuff. But, after all, this is what they have to do at the birthday party. Reb Shmuel takes the key. He goes to the poet's room. And then he takes the key to the safe. Or maybe it was a combination lock, which he knew the combination to, whatever it was. And he goes to the safe. And he opens up the safe. And in the safe, he takes out the special box that the diamond is in. The beautiful, fancy, schmancy, ungepachket, beautiful jewel box. And he takes it now out of the Poritz's room. Of course, he locks up the safe, and then he locks up the Poritz's room. And he carries it now to the Poritz, who is standing in front of his guests, ready for the show and tell. And now he takes the box, and he starts making a speech. "A long time ago, I inherited this diamond from my parents, and first let me tell you who my mother was and who my father was." And he goes through this whole long speech, and finally it's time to open up the box. And of course, you know, the people now want to see the diamond. It is very beautiful. And he opens up the box, and all of a sudden, what do you think happened when the poets opened the box? After all, you could probably figure this part out. What do you think?
Nothing is there.
It was gone. The diamond was not there. And everybody, of course, let out a big gasp. Huh? And all eyes went on Reb Shmuel. And the people at the party, Chas V'Shalom, said, "Hang the Jew." And the Poritz was so angry that his face turned red. And now the poet says to Reb Shmuel, "I will not punish you until you tell on yourself, you confess, and give back my diamond, because you are the only one that could have possibly taken it, because only you had the key to the room and to the safe." Kenelach, Reb Shmuel said, "I did not take the diamond, but I will prove who did." And he says to the pirates, "Please do not let anybody leave the party. The one who stole the diamond for sure is in the castle right now. And I will prove who stole the diamond, because it was not me." And the pirate says, "How can you do such a thing?" Shh. And Reb Shmuel says, "Just please give me a chance. I ask your permission." And the poet says, "Okay, you have served me faithfully for many years. I will give you 1 hour. Reb Shmuel says, "That's all I need, but I need permission to go home." The poet says, "I give you permission to go home, Because I know if you would try to run away, that would only prove your guilt and I would catch you. So, go home and come back. You have 1 hour to clear yourself. And kenalach, Reb Shmuel went home. And very shortly, Reb Shmuel came back and he walks into the party and everybody turns around and all of a sudden, Reb Shmuel was holding a black rooster. A black chicken. Ooh. What does he have? A black chicken. We've never seen a black chicken. We've seen chickens, white or spotted or even brown. But this was a completely black chicken. Looked like a chocolate chicken, but it was real. What's he going to do with that chicken? And Reb Shmuel says, okay, it is my turn for show and tell. Everyone make a circle around me and the chicken. And all the guests, and all the servants, and all the helpers, whoever was in the castle, made a circle around Reb Shmuel and the black chicken. What in the world is he going to do with a black chicken? He's got to prove that he didn't steal the diamond. Reb Shmuel says, yes, I will prove beyond a doubt that I did not steal the chicken, and we will see who, yes, I'm sorry. I will prove beyond a doubt that I did not steal the diamond, and we will find whoever stole the diamond. And this is how we're going to do it. Reb Shmuel says, this is a special, remarkable rooster, unlike any other rooster in the world. Because this rooster will only let an honest person to pet him. Anybody who's honest, who pets the chicken, who pets the rooster will like this, and the rooster will be very calm and behave himself. However, if a person is not honest, especially if a person is a thief and stole something, their rooster will start to flap his wings and scream cock-a-doodle-doo. And so, this is what the test will be. Each person in the circle will come to the rooster, one by one in turn, and pet his head with his hand. If the rooster stays calm, it means the person is honest and did not steal that diamond. However, if the person will put his hand on the head and pet the rooster, and the rooster will start to flap his wings and scream cock-a-doodle-doo, this will be the one who stole the diamond. Ooh, everybody was so quiet. And Reb Shmuel says, everyone must stand completely still, hands by your sides and quiet. And one by one, each person stepped up to the rooster and pet him on the head. The first person came up, put his hand on the rooster. The rooster was calm. The second person, the rooster was calm. They go back to their place in the circle, and they stand with their hands by their side, completely quietly. Each person had a turn. Each guest, each poritz, each lady, each servant, each cook, each officer, even the poritz himself, even Reb Shmuel, until each person pet the rooster on the head, and the whole time the rooster was calm. There was nobody left. He never screamed cock-a-doodle-doo. He never flapped his wings. And the poor starts to scream, what is this, a joke? You're making fun of me? Bringing a black rooster and he doesn't do a thing? And the people start screaming, hang the Jew! Hang the Jew! All of a sudden Reb Shmuel says, wait! The hour is not up yet and I still have one more thing to do to prove myself. And now Reb Shmuel said, everyone hold up their hand that they used to pet the rooster. Now, till now, everyone was standing with his hand by his side, or her hand by her side, because they had to stand perfectly still. And now, Everyone is raising their hands. They looked around at their own hand and everybody else's hand. The hand was blank. Whoever's hand touched the rooster, the hand was black. But there was one hand that was white. And Reb Shmuel says, this is the thief. One of the servants had a white hand. The servant started to shake. The servant started to cry. And they discovered this servant stole the diamond. And everybody said, what's going on over here? Reb Shmuel says, this is a chicken like any other chicken that I painted black. I knew that whoever is not afraid to pet the chicken will pet the chicken, and a little bit of the paint will come off on his hand, which means he didn't do anything. But whoever is afraid to pet the chicken, because they thought the chicken would start flapping his wings and go cock-a-doodle-doo, they would only pretend to pet the chicken. And they wouldn't really touch the chicken. Because they think that when they touch the chicken, he's going to know he stole the diamond, and the chicken is going to flap his wings and go cock-a-doodle-doo. So they didn't really touch the chicken. So their hands stayed white because they got no paint on their hand. So whoever was not afraid, they all have a black hand. That means they didn't do anything. And this one servant who was afraid to pet the chicken, he had a hand without paint. And that was the one who had figured out a way to steal the diamond. Exactly how he did it, how he broke into the room and broke into the safe. This is thief kind of stuff, which we're not going to discuss. And everybody saw the tremendous chokhmah of Reb Shmuel. And of course, everyone was so impressed by the chokhmah, by the smartness of the Yid, and of course, the Poritz even respected and loved his helper more than ever. And that is, of course, the end of the story. Okay, you've heard of the big tzaddik and the big chassid, Reb Hillel Paritzer. Well, Rebbe, was he a big tzaddik or a big chassid, or was he both, or what's going on? Well, actually, he was both, because they asked the Tzemach Tzedek. He was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. How many chassidim do you have? How many big chassidim do you have? The Tzemach Tzedek answered, you know how many real big chassidim I have? 2.5. 2.5? Well, there's one, there's two. Their names, I guess few people find out who they are, very big chassidim. But what do you mean a half? How can you have a half a chassid? So he said, Reb Hillel Paritzer is half a chassid and half a rebbe. He's not exactly all a Rebbe, but he's not exactly all a Chassid. Half of him is a Chassid, the other half is a Rebbe. So he had 2.5 Chassidim. They used to call Reb Hillel Paritzer Chol HaMoyed. They used to call him Chol HaMoyed, like a nickname. Please come here, Chol HaMoyed. How did he get the name Chol HaMoyed? On Chol HaMoyed, like if it's Chol HaMoyed Pesach or Chol HaMoyed Sukkos, according to our minhag, if a man is married, he wears his talis gadol, he wears the big talis, but he does not put on tefillin. Our minhag, and the minhag of many Jews, is to not wear tefillin at all during Chol HaMoyed. So they daven with the talis without tefillin. Now, Reb Hillel Paritzer was married at the age of 12. His chasana was when he was 12 years old, even before his bar mitzvah. What happens when a person gets married and they go to daven, they put on a talis? Now, since he was not bar mitzvah, he never put on tefillin, because you don't put on tefillin until your bar mitzvah, or according to the different minhagim, a few weeks or maybe 2 months before your bar mitzvah. But let's say it was right after his chasana, And he didn't put on tefillin yet. On a regular day, not Chol HaMoed, regular, any day, any weekday, everybody else in the shul had talis and tefillin. He only had talis without tefillin. So they called him Chol HaMoed, because it looks like he's in Chol HaMoed. He has a talis and no tefillin. Rav Hillel Paritcher would visit his Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek. What would he do when he visited his Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek? The main thing, he would learn Hasidus and hear Maimarim from his Rebbe. He would hear Hasidus from his Rebbe. That was the main thing that he went to Lubavitch to go do, to learn from his Rebbe. Now, being a Hasid, he didn't just go for himself to listen to Hasidus, to say, oh, look what I heard, it's so nice, I like that. He didn't just keep it for himself. But, as a shlichus, in other words, the Mittler Rebbe, I'm sorry, the Tzemach Tzedek would tell Reb Hillel Paritcher, another Hasidim, after you're done being in Lubavitch, and after you've heard all the Hasidus that you've learned, on the way home, and they had to travel sometimes for a week or two, or maybe 3 weeks, and they go through a lot of different places. On the way home, wherever there are Jews, every little town, or every city, or every place that there are Jews, you should stop over there, you should gather the Jews together, and tell them over from the Hasidus that you heard in Lubavitch. In other words, not only you just learn it for yourself, but you give it over and you share it with other Jews so they become close to Hashem also. And so Reb Hillel Paritcher was one of these great mashpim, these great people that went around different places, and they would give over the Hasidus to people. Now, one time, it's very interesting also, that the Reb Hillel Paritcher said, I go sometimes to villages, there's farmers and there's simple Yidden, and, you know, they're not big Talmidei Chachamim, and they've never learned Hasidus. In fact, they can hardly say Tillim correctly or Davin. They're good Jews. They keep Shabbos. They keep kosher. They try their best. But they're, you know, they haven't learned a lot. And the Hasidus that the Tzemach Tzedek gives over, and Reb Hillel Paritcher heard, is sometimes very high Halakha Hasidus. So Reb Hillel said, what should I do when I go to such places? And I sit by the table, and I start saying, and people don't understand. Maybe I shouldn't say. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, don't worry, the Neshama understands. Even the person themselves doesn't understand. What understands inside of the person? His Neshama understands. Like there's a story, there's a little story inside of a story. There was a shir every night in the shul, and a deaf man who could not hear went every single night to listen to the shir. And he's sitting there, and the one who's saying over the shir is saying, and everybody's sitting there. Now, he's deaf, he can't hear. So why did he go to the shir? Somebody said, why do you come here if you can't hear? You're just sitting there. Why do you think he sat every night in the shir if he could not hear in the shir?
His neshama could hear.
Because his neshama heard the shir, that's right. And after 120 years, because his neshama hears, they will count up all of those shears that he went to hear, and it'll be for sure a tremendous big mitzvah for that neshama. And he'll get to hear it in Gan Eden, I'm sure, played back to him, because he did the mitzvah as well as he could. So Reb Hillel Paritcher went on different places, gathering people. Some of them understood, some of them only the neshama understood, but one thing for sure, everybody loved to listen to Reb Hillel Paritcher, because he was a big halakha tzaddik and a halakha chassid. And wherever he would go, people would come to hear him.